Introducing Transfer the Sense from Security State Bank. The easiest way to save without thinking about it. Every time you use your debit card, we round up your purchase to the nearest dollar and move the change into an account of your choosing, free of charge. It's automatic, effortless, and adds up fast. Start saving with every swipe. Ask about Transfer the Sense today. Security State Bank, small enough to listen, big enough to help. Member FDIC.
Big dealerships have big budgets for big advertising, but the truth is that major sponsorships cost big bucks. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we choose to sponsor our local youth and local worthwhile programs, all the while passing that savings on to you, our customer. We are locally owned with the same ownership and management for over 40 years. If we don't have what you need, we'll find it and we'll stand behind it after the sale because we live here, we work here, and we raise our families here. Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue.
This announcement is brought to you by Farmers Co-op, your farm and ranch supply store on Coffeen Avenue.
Pathways Therapeutic Support Group. Sometimes life just feels too heavy to handle alone. NAMI Sheridan's Pathways Therapeutic Support Group is a free clinician-led group offering support and guidance. Meetings are every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Pre-registration is required. Call 307-202-8117 to sign up and get location details. Hope and healing are possible.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, November 19th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting. And this is Public Pulse. This morning, we are joined by Sheridan Police Department Chief Travis Skultiska and Captain Tom Ringley. Good morning and welcome back, gentlemen.
Morning, Floyd.
Chief, there is something that you wanted people to know regarding the recent alert that went out about the power outage.
Yeah, and I'm sure many people are aware that, they've received multiple alerts over since that time. Sheridan County Emergency Management has been working with the software engineers for both the alert, the IPAWS alert system, and some of our local carriers, because it seems like at first these alerts were going to every phone, but now it seems like we've kind of isolated down to potentially AT&T only customers. So if you continue to get that alert, I just want you to be aware that everybody may get one at 10 o'clock today, because what they've figured out is that, or what they're going to attempt to send out a new alert, which will reset the system. It was all due to the power outage. I mean, even it affected the alert system and some of the software within the alert system. So they think they had this happen somewhere else across the country. And they think that if they can send out a new alert, which will not have any information about anything anybody really needs to be aware of, it's just an attempt to reset the system. And then hopefully that will work and people won't continue to get alerts of power outages twice a day sometimes.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I saw James. He raised his hand when you brought that up. Looks like he's getting these alerts now. Yeah. He's giving me the nod.
I have four AT&T phones in my house, so we get it four times.
So you've got dings going off all over the place. All right. Now, switching gears. So folks, before I switch gears, just so you know, that's going out 10 a.m. today.
Correct.
So at the conclusion of this show, you should be getting an alert. Disregard that alert. It's simply the system trying to reset itself. Let's hope that works. Let's start today's conversation regarding the recent staffing changes within the department. What's going on?
Well, you know, we've talked about it before, and I think those that are familiar with law enforcement know that, well, probably any industry anymore, staffing is a challenge for people, and we have experienced difficulties in recruiting individuals to the community, to the department, both our sworn ranks and in our dispatch center. But we have had some recent excellent additions in this calendar year. Officer Hunter Pope, Officer Bailey Moss, and Officer Luke Reinhart are all new officers with the department. We've hired, December 1st, we'll have a new dispatcher starting, Shea Walker, who's from the area as well. So, you know, we're seeing some increase in traction in some of our recruiting efforts. And that's a positive thing because we have been understaffed for quite some time. And so these changes and these, you know, these additions to the department of excellent character individuals who are out there making a difference, wanting to make a positive difference in our community every day. It's been, and so we're seeing that increased movement. We're testing tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we're testing tomorrow, and it's pretty interesting. We've probably give our specifically our CID people some kudos for we've changed our recruiting philosophy over the past years, but especially since this summer, where we had recruiting specialists come in and train roughly half the department, to where it's much more, we're not casting a wide net, just hoping someone answers. We are targeting people, and when people do respond, whether it's via just an email or request a test, then that's where Lieutenant Hill and Sergeant Snoozy guide them through the whole process, let them know that we're interested in them, and this, we just make ourselves much more available than we used to, where we will, and we've always taken a phone call and answered a question, but we're doing a better job at establishing that that personal contact, and also a single point of contact for interested people. And it's really paying dividends. That the recruiting course was, dude, and Chief can tell you the name of the company, it's escaping me right now. They're absolutely superb. And it's that personal thing. We want people with character, like we frequently say. So this is our chance to evaluate their character, but also to tell candidates what our institutional character is, to make sure, as I always say, both sides have to be sure of each other when someone's making such a major decision as to become a police officer or a dispatcher.
Now, Chief, how many positions on average are open at any given time within the SPD?
Well, really, in the most recent years, roughly 4 to 5 out of an allocated staff of 31. That's a pretty large percentage of the department that's down. It creates problems with proactive activity. You know, you become more responsive instead of proactive in nature, which is not a good philosophy. And it's not the philosophy that I want within our agency. I want us to be very proactive and out there and engaged in the community. But if you're responding to calls, you can't take that unallocated time and do better things.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it comes to time off, we feel it's very important for our department members to spend time with their family, take those vacations when they can to decompress, especially in this line of work.
Yeah.
And for training too, it becomes scheduling for training for, you know, advanced training becomes problematic. So it's just kind of a snowball. And so, yeah, we really have identified that need to focus on the recruiting. The company was a company called Performance Protocol, and they come in and with a recruitment boot camp, and really it's just an opportunity and how we can engage people who we think would be great fits with our department and make sure that, like the captain said, that they know we would be a good fit for them. And that's what's really important.
And that's a really interesting way. And I know other institutions follow this, but it's just kind of interesting that the PD doesn't traditionally go out and seek people, but now kind of turning a corner here and taking that proactive recruiting. How do you find the people that you're interested in? Is this like a lot of records and things, performance issues that they've had, maybe fantastic performance, and you're like, you know what, that individual would be great to add to the team?
It's both. I mean, we still do have people come to us. We make sure we get our message out, and a lot of it's in messaging, so we can try to attract the right people, let them know our philosophy up front as best as we can. So we are still, you know, attracting people from other locations, but a lot of it is when powering individuals and organizations to say, hey, you know, I've had interactions with John Doe here, and they've really impressed me in who they are as a person. I've gotten to know them through informal or formal means. Somebody I think would be great to bring into an organization. Stephen Piker is a great example of that. You know, Stephen, just one of the more recent. We've got a department full of great examples of that. But you know, he was someone who came into our organization through personal contacts of other employees, and he's like, hey, really, I want to do this, and yeah, he was identified the opportunity for him at the time was fantastic, and so he's been a great addition to our department as well.
And just as important, you know, we talk about hiring all the time, but what's even more important to us is retention. Mm-hmm. And also the the performance protocol. Also, we've made them available for job coaching for anyone in a department that wants it. Unfortunately, they wouldn't let us in the orientation.
Your career path has already kind of been laid out.
Not that, but it's a very personal thing between that officer dispatcher and their job coach. So they didn't want command staff in there,
right?
Hearing things, but we have full faith in the performance protocol, and it's just we can't stress enough how important our people are to us. We're not an organization that once you're on board, then you're ours. No, one's health and welfare is still our primary concern.
Yeah,
and part of that is job satisfaction and career development, and I think a lot of people forget that. It's something we're trying to do better at. We're going to start acknowledging 5-year anniversaries instead of just people being hired. We're not going to leave the people that have been serving us so well behind. And, you know, retention is kind of become a buzzword across all industries. But to us, we've got to, not only that we want to take care of the people we have.
Yeah, this isn't forced.
Yeah.
This is something.
And that's citywide.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to retention, do you guys have like a retention officer, extra duty or anything like that? An individual whose job it is, hey, you know, so-and-so's coming up on a certain time frame or they may be exploring other options?
That's all done. That's a combination of the first line supervisor's job. And also once a year, we send out what we call an inquiry for special duties. And that can range from specific, like, for instance, either runs a gamut from being a canine handler to very specific interview training. So it's everything. And it's a way to keep people engaged and for people to continue to not only enjoy their job, but also grow their capabilities.
And when it comes to those extra duties or special duties, I imagine those wouldn't be too hard to fill. I mean, individuals who put the uniform on, they're there for a purpose. They want to engage in these specialty activities, detective or interviewer, and I'm sure there's subcategories of both of those. Do you ever find that there is like an extra duty that some people just don't want to do?
Occasionally, but I will also say that when we've had the talk with the candidate, they've always enjoyed doing it. Because some are, for instance, child interviews, forensic child interviews.
Tough job.
Very unpleasant topic too.
Yeah, because absolutely.
I mean, to be frank, it's either child abuse or child sexual assault. No one enjoys that.
Yeah.
But the sell on that is if you can conduct an interview on a 5-year-old to a 15-year-old that will be admitted in court. That's what forensic means. Then you can certainly, using the same philosophies and protocols, interview an adult and have it airtight.
Yeah.
So, you know, part of it's the character we're hiring for. People want to grow and people want to expand and people want to help.
And learn. There's so much going on within a police department nowadays. Lots of different avenues of investigation, lots of different avenues of duties that you could go down. If you want to just patrol, you can just patrol. If you want to engage more within the community, then you could go be a school resource officer or something like that. There's a lot of opportunity there. When it comes to the new officers coming in out of Peace Officer Basic, how long do they have to wait or how much training do they have to receive until they get that list of, hey, you know, we've got some extra things that you can look into?
So our philosophy is really that their initial focus from hiring to about year two is just really to sharpen up those core skills.
Get to know the city.
It's like building a house. If your foundation is not good, none of the rest of the top structure is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want to set that foundational basis of your duties as a peace officer. And there are trainings made available to them that will enhance that course. But when you're talking like advanced training to instructors or to specialized skills, you know, we really want to get them into about that 2-year mark of out there. And that, you know, that includes their basic training, which is 14 weeks, FTO, which is 14 weeks. And some other, and about 2 months roughly of other trainings, outside of the FTO and the peace officer basic. And then they get a really good year and a half, over a year of just nothing but solid patrol duties, core foundational duties. And then you want to start looking at some additional responsibilities. And I don't call it I'm going to call it a benefit because if you're going to sign up for something else, I'm going to put you to work.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. Maybe something you're interested in. And I always said, if you enjoy what you're doing, you never work a day in your life. And so, yeah, you may enjoy with that, but I'm going to put you to work. If you want to go to, if you want to be a, something extra, I want to see some results.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this department doesn't disappoint in that respect.
When it comes to that first couple of years, I mean, for lack of a better term, it's really getting that beat cop, you know, wearing down the shoe leather, I think they used to say.
It is, and it also provides context for the specialized training. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's kind of like if we were just to hire someone and make them a detective, it would probably be a disaster no matter how much training we gave them because they haven't developed those skills and the actual practical skills and experience in communicating with people and the basic process in a crime scene and most importantly gotten the report writing down. So that's why we wait a couple of years.
Yeah.
This to get that foundation and context established.
Plus how many people going to college their first couple of years have no idea what their major is going to be, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And the new officer may not, or dispatcher may not know where they want to go. And like Captain said, it may be they're like, they had no idea they ever wanted to do forensic child interviews, but the first time they saw a predator put away for a long, long time triggered that interest.
That's what I want to do. I want to be the one that puts them away for life. Yeah, yep. That'd be fantastic. Now, when it comes to, you know what? I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We'll continue this conversation with our Sheridan Police Department right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Hi, this is JT.
And Elizabeth Kraft. This month and always, we are especially thankful for our business and the opportunity we have each day to reconnect people to the world around them through the gift of hearing while providing food, shelter, and stability for our family.
We are also thankful for our very supportive communities in northern Wyoming. Without our loyal customers and the new friends that join EBIA Hearing and Sound each day, we would not be where we are today. We appreciate all of you more than you know.
Happy Thanksgiving from the EBIA Hearing and Sound family on Coffeen Avenue next to Sherwin-Williams in Sheridan.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. When you walk through our doors, you feel it, the perfect mix of style, warmth, and confidence. And that's no accident. It's our team, polished, friendly, and ready to make your night special. From the greetings to the goodbye, we care about your experience as much as your meal. Sheridan's favorite place to connect, celebrate, and unwind. Frackleton's, where great food meets flawless service. Main Street in downtown Sheridan.
The holiday meals taste better when they're healthy and homemade. At the Health Nut, you'll find fresh homemade pies and sides, Beeler's spiral-cut hams, organic turkeys, and the freshest fruits and vegetables around. And when you stop in, don't forget our healthy soup, salad, juice, and smoothie bar. Eat well, feel great, and shop healthy this holiday season. The Health Nut in Sheridan's 5th Street Mall. Fresh, local, delicious. Oh, and check out our gifts and cards, too.
This time of year, you can almost hear your pickup hollering, "Save me! There's road salt out there!" And it's right. That stuff will chew through a frame faster than coyote on roadkill. Best get her under Vulcan Collision Center, located in the old Holly Seed building under that big old chimney. They'll seal her up tight and keep the rust from ever taking hold. Don't wait for the first storm. Undercoat now at Vulcan Collision Center before your truck says, "Save me! There's road salt out there!"
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan Police Department Chief Travis Koltiska and Captain of the Force, Tom Ringley. Now we're discussing some new hires out at the department, and the rigorous training that a lot of our officers are actually given to ensure their readiness. We're also talking about extra duties, a lot of opportunity within a department, a lot of different jobs. Finding that right personality with the proper character, that is the goal. Now, we've talked about new recruiting efforts. Chief, kind of just building off of that, are these, how long ago did this the specialized company come in and kind of brief you on all this recruiting techniques and practices?
It was early summer that they came in, it was a company that I'd made contact with at a training the previous fall and started getting interested. You know, they told us what they provided. I found it very interesting, thought it was something that our agency could definitely use, and contracted with them to come in and provide this training to our organization. Both that, the recruitment boot camp, plus that was 100% paid for with a grant, federal grant. Oh, wow. Yeah, didn't cost a dime to the department's budget. And then also from that, it dovetailed into the performance coaching, which is, you know, and it covers both on the job as well as personal coaching. It covers the whole gamut of basically having a successful career in both your personal and professional life. So it's really, really good. It's just providing that extra talking sounding board to our individuals and our organization to really help them navigate this tough career.
And I mean, there's a mentorship type of,
yes, exactly.
Yeah. Environment within the department itself. I mean, as soon as you get out of your training and you join the force, you're put in a car with an experienced officer for quite some time.
Yeah, we do have that within the organization, but you know, it's like having that external feedback as well outside the organization.
An objective point of view.
You know, it's like everybody listening, when mom and dad said to do something, you're kind of like, yeah, right. But if maybe your uncle down the road pulled you aside and said, "Hey, boy, we're gonna have a little chat about what's going on. You're gonna maybe like take it more to heart.
So yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of the informal philosophy of it. But it provides an outside perspective from individuals within the industry, from all across the country. There's upwards of 300 coaches across the country that work with this organization. So it pairs our people with some coaches across the industry, across the country, that give an outside perspective.
Now, did a lot of officers jump on board, take advantage of this?
Yeah, it's limited in numbers. I mean, it's basically not everybody could participate. So we have about a third of the department doing it right now.
Now, Captain, did this training for the trainers change anything having to do with the testing itself?
No. No, because we still have the National Testing Network test. This is for, but we talk to and recruit people throughout the process. We may not hear from anyone until they take the test. And instead of just sending our road form emails, we're making phone calls and we're making follow-up calls. Or it could be before anyone takes the test. Someone we see and say, "Hey, I'm listening to you. It sounds like you'd fit. Be a good fit for us." And mm-hmm. We often don't even mention the work. We mention the organization because they know we're a police department.
Yeah.
But I think you'd fit our culture even more importantly. And that's the message. Like I say almost every show, police work's not that difficult. I can do it. But I come back for the people that I work with and the organization characteristics. So it's working, and we see small things that the culture is really good. For instance, we have a nice gym at work that I kind of stay out of, just because no one wants the captain in there looming over them, and they're on and they're on shift work, so I want to make sure they have access to it.
Yeah.
But we have a big whiteboard that used to be blank all the time, and now there's everyone's writing their own workout else to look at
challenging.
That's fantastic.
Little challenges and little smart aleck back and forth, which to me is a great indication that people are happy. They're taking care of themselves,
mm-hmm.
and that they want to be able to perform.
And I think that's great when it came to doing things like that in the gym. when I was in the service. Same thing. We hit that place at 7 a.m. every morning, and somebody's always in there kind of giving you a little guff about how you were lifting or how the distance you ran.
Yep.
Always checking on your APFT scores, making sure just exactly where you're at. And if you can get another couple seconds off of that run or a few more sit-ups or push-ups, they were always seeking for that. And that friendly competition, as you said, it shows a friendship. Not just a professional interaction. Now, when it comes to the dispatchers, Chief, this is a job that you and I have discussed at length because this tough work. Our dispatchers down there, you said we're going to hire someone on December 1st. Yeah. What kind of training do our dispatchers or communications technicians through?
Yeah, so they also have a 14-week FTO program. So it's a lengthy program where they are partnered up with one of our trainers within the center who I couldn't do it. I don't have, what they go through, the technical skills that they go through and being able to listen to four or six or seven different radio channels and 911 ringing and everything else. But there's also a lot of knowledge required for, NCIC and the information that we can get off of our state links for driver's license, criminal histories, registrations, all of that. But there's some pretty strict rules governing those that they have to take tests. And then so that their 14-week FTO program and then reevaluated to make sure that they could handle the job solo for a couple hours if they needed to, because we do have some times in there where there's maybe one dispatcher from 4 to 6 and 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. And then they also have a two-week basic training academy at the Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy.
Wow.
And so their training is pretty rigorous, and it's constant. You know, even after that 14 weeks and a person's functioning well, it took me 2 years as a patrol officer before I had to stop asking somebody questions just to validate and make sure I was doing the right thing, right? And that will happen in any, that happens, and that's normal and that's expected. So... yeah, it's a very rigorous training for the communications technicians as well.
And they're consummate professionals. These individuals, as you said, sitting there listening to all this information coming in, they are the lifeline.
If you manage to frazzle one of my dispatchers, you've done something pretty impressive, because after last week with the power outage and all our systems going down and we had 911 issues before and those individuals in that center were calm and collected the entire time. They never panicked. They never... lost their cool. They just focused on the mission and they drove it home. I mean, they did a phenomenal job when we were experiencing all those difficulties.
And that's kind of required of that job.
Absolutely.
The rock, the person who doesn't shake when they hold their hand.
Yeah, and they do a phenomenal job in there.
Now, if an individual out there is listening to this and they're like, you know what, that's the kind of high-paced job I'd love to get into. How long... from when they get home from their training, are they really proficient, would you say, at maybe taking that solo?
Everybody's a little different, but we will not set them up to fail. We will make sure that they are proficient and ready to take that before they're ever released from the FTO program. So, that 14 weeks, like I said, doesn't mean there's not a question and there's not a time when they go, I hope I did all of that right. Mm-hmm. And they do.
I think we all do. Yeah.
And they almost always do it right. Right. But we will not set anybody up to fail. We will not allow them to be partially proficient and throw them into a situation that's going to be a catastrophe.
Something we're always saying is, and I know you've heard this before, is we train to standard, not time.
Yeah.
If someone might take 15 weeks because they need a little extra exposure to something, then they are in training for 15 weeks. If they have everything done in 12 and they've done their solo evaluations, then they'll be done in 12. It's our training, I think one thing we're pretty proud of, it's not a process to wash people.
Yeah.
That's what the hiring process is. It's a training. And if they fail, then we fail. And I think we're pretty unique in that. And we're pretty proud of that. So like the chief said, we're not going to set people up for failure to include whoever we hire for our one open dispatch position and our two officer positions that are not covered by background. I just wanted to make sure I got that in. But no,
if anybody is interested?
People are on our team from day one. whether it's a swearing in of an officer or the hiring of a dispatcher, they're ours and we're theirs. And it's our job, once again, their health and welfare, personally and professionally, is our primary concern.
Like a drop of water to the puddle.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all in this together. And that's a fantastic outlook, and one of support that I think actually holds a lot of people out from this profession. They may think that, you know, you throw the uniform on and then you're just kind of tossed out into the street, and that's not how it is. As you said, Chief, that's catastrophe. You're just kind of lining yourself up for that. Two things I want to ask you just before we go, and that is, number one, Chief, we've talked about how tough these positions can actually be, but there is help and support regarding mental health, family health, things like that, made available to every officer and dispatcher, correct?
100%. I mean, not only at the city level with the city's EAP program, Employee Assistance Program, you know, that's a city benefit, but within our department itself, we have people that are just a phone call away, that I can make a phone call and say, hey, this person needs some help. Just somebody to talk to, right? Because it is, there are some difficult things you see in this line of work. And it's not a weakness to say, yeah, I need to talk to somebody or I need a little help. And we make sure that, and everybody knows that. You know, after what we went through last year, you know, I'll admit it right here on the radio that I went and spoke to somebody. You know, it was tough. And so we are always there for them. Them completing a successful career, whether that is 5, 10, 15, or I'm on year 31 right now, and being happy and healthy at the end of that career is my number one priority for everybody that's within my organization. I don't want anything less for them.
Fantastic. Captain, if someone's looking to take this test or wanting to learn a little bit more, what should they do, sir?
The best step is to establish that personal connection right off the bat. You know, we say log on to the National Testing Network and take the test, but just give us a call. Ask to speak to Lieutenant James Hill, and he'll be happy to talk to you and answer any questions you might have and provide any guidance.
If you see an officer out driving around, flag him over. Say, let me talk to you about your job.
Yeah. And I'll say, you know, even before they realize who I am, every officer I've talked to downtown gave me their time. And that's fantastic. Shake a hand, talk to me, answer any questions I have about the uniform, about the position, about their duties. And I've always really appreciated that, because that to me is community policing, part of the community within the community. Chief, Captain, thank you both so much for coming in this morning and having this conversation. As we said before, I kind of went off topic, but
we always do.
I think it's fantastic. Great show. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Floyd. Thanks,
Floyd. All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the mayor of Buffalo right here. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, we believe financial confidence starts with knowledge.
That's why they partner with schools and organizations to bring financial literacy directly to students and groups in our community.
We provide free educational resources, interactive bank tours, and real guidance from our team of professionals.
It's a smart, hands-on way to build a strong financial foundation.
Learn more or request a speaker today at efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
What would Christmas be without tradition? Without the comfort of home, the joy of family, and smiles of children? Open your heart this year during the 26th annual Christmas Wish Campaign. Due to temporary circumstances beyond their control, some families, friends, and neighbors will struggle to make ends meet, let alone have a Merry Christmas. It's tradition for the Christmas Wish Campaign to bring the spirit of the holidays to those individuals. In the past, we've assisted several people with everything from bills and food to clothing, Christmas trees, and toys for children.
Please send your Christmas wish nominations and donations to P.O. Box 5086 Sheridan or submit them online at SheridanMedia.com as soon as possible. All wishes must be submitted in writing and must include your name and phone number. There are follow-up questions our committee will need to have answered to properly assess each wish. Wishes must be received by Friday, November 28th.
Partners for this year's Christmas Wish Campaign are First Federal Bank and Trust, Heartland Kubota, Advanced Auto Body, Wyoming Corporate Office, Odell Construction, and A-Line Roofing and Exteriors.
Traveling for the holidays? Well, this holiday season, Sheridan is offering even more ways to fly. From November 25th through December 1st, enjoy 3 daily United flights between Sheridan and Denver, morning, mid-morning, and evening. And booking your flight is easy through United.com, the United app, or United reservations at 800-UNITED-1. Tickets are also available on Travelocity, Expedia, Kayak, and other booking companies. This holiday season, fly local, fly Sheridan. Deluxe Harley-Davidson presents Sheridan Road Show. They've put the show on the road and are coming to Sheridan this Sunday. You'll find their team of motorcycle sales, service, and parts specialists at the Ramada Hotel Sunday, 11 to 3. Harley-Davidson motorcycles for sale, apparel, and holiday show specials, and big discounts on new 2024 Harley-Davidson motorcycles. Shop Deluxe Harley-Davidson this Sunday, 11 to 3 at the Ramada Hotel in Sheridan.
Woke radical liberals are screwing up this country, but Senator John Thune is fighting back. He backed one big, beautiful tax cut for working families, ending Social Security taxes for nearly all seniors, and taxes on tips and overtime gone. So call Senator John Thune at 202-224-2321 and thank him for backing working family tax cuts and putting America first. Paid for by American Prosperity Alliance.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. First second part this morning, I am joined by the City of Buffalo Mayor, Shane Schrader. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing good. How's Floyd doing?
I'm getting by. Now, over there in Buffalo, a lot of things happening. What can you tell us about this year's upcoming Buffalo Christmas Parade and the theme that the community will see downtown?
Well, I haven't seen much. And as far as I know, the city hasn't been approached with any street closures or anything like that. So we'll be reaching out to them in a couple of days. What I can imagine is that it won't be, the parade routes and everything won't be much different than previous years, but again, we just haven't heard from anybody on those topics yet. So
now what is the traditional routes, or is it just basically right down Main Street?
It's down Main Street, the Angus to Fort and back around, and now that our construction's over, we can get back on those routes again, you know, unless the chamber and, you know, Chief Bissette come up with a better route, I can assume that that's the same route as normal.
Now, I was going to save this question for later, but can you give us an update on the progress of that Buffalo Main Street project? Is it all tied up in into a bow? Are we finished up?
It is not. There's still a few cones out there. There's a few things that they go back, and that's just any construction project that happens. You have to go back and touch up here and go through the punch list and make sure everything's the way it needs to be. But it, for the most part, is complete after 2 years. So I am happy to drive from one end of Main Street to the other without stops, detours, the road cone slalom, all that sort of fun stuff. It's nice. They did a great job on it. So,
have any of the Buffalo businesses approached you or council members regarding this project? I imagine they're probably pretty happy with it being completed.
They are. You know, it was tough for them, and it's a construction project, and we wish that it didn't affect things, but they do. And that's the only way you can complete the project is, you know, your daily life's going to get interrupted, unfortunately. And that's a sad deal, but the street needed to be redone, and YDOT had it scheduled, and it moved forward. So
now, when we talk about, we're going to go back to the parade there, how's the city coordinating safety and everything? Is that directly done by Chief Bissette, crowd management? I've been to a couple of those parades, and they don't seem to get too unruly.
They don't, but a changing world. Chief, his team, Sheriff Odenbaugh, they work really well together with Public Works and with the city and with the organizers of the groups. And sometimes you have to make an adjustment here or adjustment there, maybe have a few more officers out, again, because of a changing world. And you know the chief, he's safety is the number one thing he's got on his mind when he's out and about. So he makes sure that it's the safest way possible. So again, there's small tweaks here and there that may happen. If he knows something that we don't know, he might make big tweaks, but things get shifted and changed. But for the most part, it's the same.
Now,
but again, he takes safety the utmost top priority in it.
As we head into the holiday season, what role does the city play in supporting local businesses during the holiday season? Is there anything you guys like to get out, or is there any programs at all going on?
Well, there's the Blue Santa program that's going on. If you'd like to donate to that through Erica McCarter down at the police department, that's a good program if you haven't researched it. And then, you know, there are other organizations that work with Compass Family for Children. They work with, you know, the shelter to make sure that families that might not be able to afford a Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner, can get that on their tables for them. So if you're looking to donate, contact one of those groups and they can help you get through to get a family fed for the holidays.
Sir, when we look at tourism coming into Buffalo, I imagine there's probably a drop over the winter season. Do you see any kind of impact from tourism on the community during the holidays?
I think maybe it's perks up a little bit during the holidays. A lot of people come home for the holidays. As you know, we're in a, I don't want to say an older community, but our median age is a little bit up there. So a lot of the kids and grandkids come home for the holidays. And so I think typically we have a little bit of uptick during the holidays of just people coming home. Buffalo is a great place to be in the holidays. So,
now, switching gears on you here real quick, the council recently approved an amendment to your budget. Can you explain why that amendment was necessary?
Well, it's a safety amendment to the budget. And so last year we had a couple of patrol vehicles that were damaged in accidents. And one of them was beyond repair. So there was we have to make up the difference to replace a patrol vehicle. We replaced all the SCBA, or the breathing apparatus, for the fire department, and we're replacing a new engine for the fire department. So it was a larger budget amendment, but, you know, when I ran a bazillion years ago, it seems like that was my focus, was safety first, and we'll deal with the rest later. That equipment needed to be replaced. It had served us and served us well, and stuff just doesn't last for forever. So if we're going to expect fire department and police department to do a job, we need to, as council, appropriate the funds so that they can get the equipment to do that job.
Has anyone within the community expressed any kind of displeasure over this amendment, or is this something that everybody just kind of gets, hey, this equipment needed to be replaced?
I haven't had any folks express displeasure to me. We did have an anonymous individual in our community that knew that we were needing a new engine and kindly donated $50,000 towards it. So,
wow.
I would say that's not a displeasure.
That's incredible.
So we do have folks that'll step up and help. They know it's needed equipment. They value our volunteers and our first responders, and they're willing to help out in that sense.
That is pretty incredible, though. An anonymous donor stepping up with $50,000 towards new safety equipment. I think that's great. Now, when it comes to that safety and that point that you ran on years ago, these additions, strengthening public safety and readiness going forward, I was just having a conversation with the Sheridan Police Department regarding somewhat of the same thing. They're looking at staffing. Are you happy with where you're at now, or do you feel that other significant improvements or changes can be done?
You know, there's always room for improvement. I'm happy and confident in the leadership of the first responder teams, you know, police, fire, EMS. The leadership there has it handled. They have the staffing to where they're comfortable and where it can be done. But they also are very budget-minded in the same sense, so they know that everything is going to cost some money. So we get the best that we can with the dollars that we have, and we work with that. Now, will they come and ask for more stuff next budget season? I hope so, because that means that they're on top of it, and they know what the trends are, and they know where things are going in their community. So if they're asking for stuff that they need, that means that there's a concern, and we need to take a serious look at that in our budgeting.
Now, Buffalo does have a one penny tax that is used very much like the GPET over here, correct?
Correct.
Are those applications out and about right now? Can people apply for that?
The application process isn't open yet. That'll come after the first of the year. However, those organizations need to start mentally processing if they're going to put in for those 1% funds or not. It's good to be ahead of the game. We've had years where everybody's applications are in on time, and we've had years where we're like, the application process is closed already. So you need to be ready to start filling out the paperwork and, you know, that process. Then after the first of the year, we compile the 1% committee to review all the applications and send it back to the council and the county commission for final approval.
Now, Buffalo does do things a little bit differently. You have a committee.
Always have.
You have a committee that sits down and looks at these things and then makes recommendations to city leadership, correct?
Correct.
We
have a 1% committee. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, who is on that committee? Who can be on that committee? How's it made up?
Anybody can be on that committee. So there's a certain number that are appointed by the Board of Commissioners. There's a certain number that are appointed by council, and then there's some joint ones. And they sit down and review it, process it all out, and they may make some changes to the dollar amounts that the groups ask for. I've seen them give less. I've seen them take away from this pile of money and give more to a group over here that may have asked for less, but the committee thought that they needed more to accomplish their goal. And then once that happens, then they send those recommendations back to council and commission for our review and final approval during budget.
Now, one thing that I do want to reiterate, this committee does not make the overall end-all decision, do they? They just make recommendations to you.
Yep. They are an advisory committee that gives the recommendations, and council and commission make the final approval and votes on it.
Sir, through the years, if you found that this actually seems to work a little bit better, kind of giving the community a bit more decision in the process itself?
Well, I think it does. You know, you have a committee that is non-elected that can advise those of us that are elected on what they see out in the community as the greatest need for that particular year. Some years they'll give a group of what they ask for. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes they'll give them more, like I said before. But they're out and about just like we are, and they have their group of friends and their agencies that are requesting this money. So they might have a little bit deeper insight as to what's going on in those particular agencies where council and commission don't necessarily have the time to get out to each one of those agencies and have the one-on-one conversations that these committee members do.
Mr. Mayor, I'm losing time with you. So before we go, I just wanted to ask you, what holiday closures should Buffalo residents be aware of as we finish out November and move into December?
Well, you got Thanksgiving, 27th, 28th, and then, you know, the holiday seasons will be coming up for Christmas and Hanukkah and that type of thing. So there'll be some city closures that go on, but, you know, the essential services will still be out there functioning during those times. So keep your eyes open, watch the front of City Hall and watch the City Hall council minutes. So all the days will be coming up, 27th and 28th for the rest of November will be the days closed for Thanksgiving. So,
all right, Mr. Mayor, I want to thank you so much for taking time to call in and have a conversation with us this morning. Happy Thanksgiving, sir.
You too. Don't get the turkeys in front of your house, okay?
Yeah, no. I saw the gang out there just yesterday. They got a little too close to my neighbor's yard, and he had his dog out, and the dog reminded them that they may run the streets, but not that particular piece of property.
Yeah, I think that flocks up to what, like 70-some now?
It's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible. All right. Thank you, sir. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You know what makes a big difference in life?
I know, making smart money choices.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust partners with local schools and organizations to teach financial basics.
They make it fun and interactive with free materials, bank tours, and real conversations.
And we tailor everything to fit your classroom or group.
I want to get started right now.
You can learn more at efirstfederal.bank. First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
Shan Foster with Country Pet Inn and All Around Canine. You've had great success in adopting some of the more difficult dogs from the dog and cat shelter.
We've adopted close to 23 dogs from the animal shelter. About 85% have gone into service dog work.
And that's made a difference in both their lives and the owners.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. Yeah.
So in some way, maybe the ones that people often consider to be difficult have potential that just isn't being correctly tapped into.
Yes, you see that a lot in your high drive dogs, where people don't know how to deal with the energy.
And so it's kind of interesting to match a person with potential who needs a little help.
Well said.
And then an animal with potential that also needs a little help, and they can kind of work together.
That's what you're looking for, where one is needing help in one area, the other is in another, and they meet in the middle. You're looking for how they can help each other in different situations when needed, because it truly is a team.
If you're struggling with your pet, take the first step on a better path. Contact Shan Foster at countrypetinn.com.
Help celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States by designing a flag for your Sheridan County community. Sage Community Arts invites designs from each of the 14 cities and towns in the county. One design will be chosen from each to begin flying the first week of January. To enter, scan the QR code in this week's Country Bounty for a link with format information and to submit your design. This contest sponsored in part by Sage Community Arts and Sheridan Media.
Take a journey from the Scottish Highlands and the streets of Finland to the back bowls of Whitewater, British Columbia, and a local hill turned to rain park in downtown Denver. It's Warren Miller's Snow Society, Tuesday, November 25th, 7 p.m. at the Wyo Theater. This deep dive into the culture behind the sport captures the humor, approachable personalities, and memorable moments that make the snow community so unique. Get your ticket for Snow Society online today at wyotheater.com.